So there was an interesting rumor that popped in earlier today, or I guess was it yesterday? It was yesterday. No, the day before. I don't know how to keep track of the days when it comes to LR mornings. 2 days ago, there was a rumor from DCEU Cosmic, Jeremy Conrad, who has plenty of sources from within. And it's a really weird one, and I kind of wanted to get your thoughts. I don't know for sure, Cam, how invested you are in the DCU. How invested would you say you are in sort of DC, be it in the comics or the films?
I mean, I would love there to be a DCEU as good as the MCU. You know, I just want more cool comic book movies. I just haven't been particularly impressed by DC's content since the Dark Knight movies ended. There's nothing that's really tickled my fancy, let's say, so far.
Like Shazam. You have an interesting...
No, opinion. I don't like Shazam.
Yeah, because I know, I know you're different because, and don't take this the wrong way, it doesn't seem like you like jokes in your movies.
Not out and out. Not when the point is to make a comedy. You know, I'm fine. You know, like, Empire Strikes Back has comedy in it. Raiders of the Lost Ark has comedy in it. All the Marvel movies have comedy in them. Actually, a lot more than you would normally expect. I love Guardians of the Galaxy. I loved Thor Ragnarok. You know, the point in them wasn't the jokes. The jokes was just how well it was written. That there was all these situations that come up. Whereas I feel like Shazam is written to be a kid's funny, what would happen if a kid gets superpowers? And honestly, you know, just at my age, I just think I'm just not that interested in a kid with superpowers, to be honest. I'm really not.
I guess the difference is that if you kind of look like, this might be a weird comparison, but I almost think of it as a difference between like Quentin Tarantino versus a comedy movie. Like, his movies, I think, are really funny, but the point isn't for them to be funny. It's just they're funny because the situation...
Exactly. So there are some things in a Quentin Tarantino movie that have made me laugh out loud more than the typical sort of movie that's designed for comedy. Very rarely works for me because all it gets is a bare smile. And at the end of it, I'm left with almost no rewatchability factor in something that's a comedy. I'll watch it once and I can go, that's all right, but... For an out-and-out comedy to get me to watch it more than once, it has to be pretty special. And I'm thinking something like Holy Grail, Monty Python. You know, every time I watch that, I'm pissing myself laughing because the comedy is just pure genius. You know, and or some bits you forget and they just catch you again. But, you know, it's not a film I could watch every year. It'd be once every 5 years, 10 years, maybe something like that. I would watch that again.
I revisited the Holy Grail. Like 6 months ago. And I was just impressed. Like, I still know that movie almost line for line. And I'm like, oh, if only I could go back and just like not like
know it again. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Sometimes, And I think that's what comedy does sometimes. I think whereas I can get a lot more rewatchability out of something that's just a little more serious because I can take different levels out of it sort of going forward. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's hard
to explain. You know, it's not that I'm totally anti-comedy, but, you know, there's a lot of British TV shows that that hit my comedy buzzer, if you like, that kind of sarcastic weirdness. Whereas especially, I'm not particularly much of a fan of American-style comedy because I think it's very slapstick and in your face and here's the joke, it's coming, there's the punchline, you know. And I can handle that and switch off TV, but not so much in a movie that's supposed to engage me and live with me.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I'm not a fan of Deadpool movies. Yeah, I can watch them once and say, I like them, but I'm not.
You said that. It's funny because I always thought it was weird that you said that, but now that it's in context, I kind of get it. Actually, we'll segue in. Good morning, everybody. This is LR Mornings with Jammer and Cam today. And once again, Kyle isn't here, but that was one long, big segue to talk about the DCEU and a new rumor from DCEU Cosmic. And the rumor is...
DCU Mythic.
Sorry.
These MCU ones, the cosmic one.
Yeah, so you got a different Jeremy one Conrad, for each. Yeah, Jeremy Conrad has like a series of sites that are, I guess, branded towards a specific thing. And the one is MCU Cosmic. So this is DCEU Mythic, my bad. Anyway, he posted an interesting rumor. And I don't know what to say. Because for me, I look at a lot of what he says. And I'd say a good chunk of it is stuff that I believe and stuff that he has a relatively good track record. And so when I see something from him, I go in with sort of a positive sort of perspective and mindset.
I don't think we've ever had any issues, you know, covering the stuff that he does. What I would say about Conrad sometimes though is, I think it's a lot of that bit different from other scoopers. There's a lot of scoopers will go, I'm going to wait a while on this and see if I can get more info. Whereas Conrad seems to just tell you whatever he's heard. And sometimes I don't necessarily think that it's bad information, but you know what it's like. Mm-hmm. Sometimes early rumours don't pan out. So, you know, that's the kind of way I feel with his stuff sometimes. So, it's worth publishing, but it doesn't necessarily mean it'll happen that way. It seems to, you know, sure. Sometimes it's early rumours.
Especially anyway. when it's like this one. This is an early
This feels early,
so
doesn't it?
The rumor is as such. The rumor is that Warner Brothers has begun development on a Justice League Rebirth movie. It is going to be separate from the Snyder Cut, and it is not a continuation of that Justice League story. And it's not animated, it is live action. So this is very, very early on. And this next part that he wrote is... I think it's really important to state that it seems like he's speculating here. Like that part, the early part was the scoop. This next part, I think, is mostly speculation, but probably based on other things that he's heard. And that is that he wouldn't be surprised if they were to approach someone like J.J. Abrams to direct this thing, and that they might even be interested in Christina Hodson to write it. He doesn't explain where he heard this or if it's the speculation or not. It sounds like speculation based on how he wrote it, but he seems a little too confident for it to be speculation. Anyway, he goes on to say that if something like that were to happen, it would position J.J. Abrams and Christina Hodson as being the DC's version of Kevin Feige, where they have a plan for the future of DC film universe and will execute it. Now,
so he thinks that because it's Justice League and it'll drive so many other things that they would have to have a control and stake in on what leads up to it. And I think is that what you think he's getting at there?
Or,
you know,
or what comes after it, even.
Because I would say the first thing that comes to my mind is start off with Justice League again before doing any build-up movies. I kind of feel like, you know, they haven't learned that lesson. Because,
well, I think it is worth noting,
you know, Flash and Cyborg especially feel kind of out of place in Justice League because, and I know Justice League will probably be completely different when we see the Snyder Cut, but still, to introduce both those characters in one movie, and really kind of almost Diana as well, because Wonder Woman came out before Justice League or after Justice League? It was in between BVS, so not so much her then. But even Batman, because Batman versus Superman wasn't really a Batman film, so I just that's what I felt like. I hadn't earned any emotion for those characters yet at that point, Aquaman and Cyborg.
I don't think that's necessarily fair, because I think that implies that the only way you can do this is if you have they each have their own standalone movies, and then we lead up to this. I reject that, because, I mean, look at movies like Guardians of the Galaxy. They didn't each get their own movie. Look at movies like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. They didn't get their own
movie.
But
I think there is a difference between a team movie and a team-up movie. And the idea about the Avengers is, the way they built it was that these were separate heroes that had their own adventures, but something was big enough to pull these people together, to have to work together to kind of fight this. That's where the magic lies. And I didn't feel we had got to that point. I just mean for Justice League. I don't mean necessarily that it couldn't work in a different franchise, but I think DC and Marvel, they are very similar in a lot of ways. They copied each other so much over the years. There's a lot of crossover there. And I know Justice League was first. I truly always felt as a kid growing up, and by the way, Batman was my favourite character and remains my favourite character. So although I'm more of a Marvel person, I think that's because of the MCU. So it was kind of like Batman, then Spider-Man for me. Those were my favourites. But yeah, I always felt like the Marvel universe fit together better when people would show up and it made it feel like one complete world. DC, I think you could read a Batman comic and not necessarily know it was involved until you got to one where Superman showed up, or when they did Justice League, it always felt a little bit more kind of forced together to me, as if, you know, they were actually different universes that they then merged together. And that's not to say, I mean, I loved all Justice League cartoons. They were some great cartoons, and they've even done some really good animated movies. I thought Justice League War, for an animated movie, obviously it doesn't quite have the depth of character and everything like that, but I thought it was a better film than Justice League live action. It was really quite violent, and it took all of them to fight Darkseid, you know, and it's quite brutal. And I thought Wonder Woman was brilliant in that the way they did her in those series. And I think they ended up doing a Flashpoint in that as well, which I thought was one of the most definitive versions of the Flashpoint story I've come across as well. So there is, the stories are there. But I think it's just getting into that. What Marvel's doing is, hey, what can we pull from all our comics, all the best stories? How could we put these characters together? Who's a great character to come in? Whereas I feel like DC's still trying to say, how do we get the audience interested in us? And that's the corporate over movie feel to me.
I think they had it going. I see your point, but then I also think they have a strength, and that strength is that for the past few years, they've allowed their movies to be really director-focused. Aquaman, for better or worse, was director-focused. Shazam was director-focused. Wonder Woman was director-focused. Birds of Prey, director-focused. Joker was director-focused.
So was BVS.
Yeah, so was BVS. Matt Reeves,
and Man of Steel. I think the problem with Justice League was they got cold feet because of the cold reception to Batman versus Superman.
My point is that they are less concerned about actually creating a cohesive universe, right?
Well, they are now.
At this point, yeah, they're now they are.
They weren't back in when Justice League was coming out. That was the idea. You could see the way it was going. It was to try and you know, get to the Avengers before they'd got to the rest of it.
I don't think was super director. I think there was some meddling. I don't think we would have gotten Wonder Woman. I don't think we would have gotten that one scene with all of the other, you know, Justice League members like Cyborg and Flash and all that, if it wasn't for the fact that they wanted it to lead to Justice League. So I think there was some, and my point here is that I liked the fact that they were going into a different sort of direction, and it even seems still, because of what the Arrowverse did, where they merged all of the implication they did in all their universes is that every single TV show, every single everything is linked together and is a part of a multiverse, like a really cohesive multiverse. So like, even if you look
and at the recent rumors about Michael Keaton coming back in his version of Batman, I mean, that just leans into all that result. And the other rumor is, if they can't get Keaton, they may ask Bale if he can come back to do a similar thing. I mean, cool.
As a result, like, I think it's, they have the license to have multiple universes. They can continue the Zack Snyderverse and then also have the J.J. Abrams verse in tandem.
They could, but you have one problem with all this, right? And that is the non-geek fuckers like us who can follow all this and speak to each other and go, right, that's actually a part of this universe. The average Joe, I always think, like, I've got a friend, right, and this friend's not a geeky friend at all. He's a truck driver, you know. He doesn't really play video games, you know. He's not really geeky like I am. And if he would ask me questions about these kind of things, so I'm his geeky mate. And but he loves the Marvel movies, because he can sit down, watch them one at a time, and he can follow them and get excited about what's coming next. He just, at the moment, DC means nothing to him. Superman, Batman, I like Batman, but I'm not really interested in all the rest of them. And that's where the money is. You've got Marvel's built that casual audience. They've done the fine line, treaded the tightrope between the geeky side for us and making a universe simple enough that the average Joe on the street can say the next Marvel movie, this follows on from the last one. The danger with the multiple universes is that you lose a lot of those people and all you've got is your hardcore audience left. Now, if that's Warner Brothers' aim and they budget accordingly and consistently make profit and give really geeky DCEU movies, I won't complain, you won't complain, but They're never going to make Avengers money off of that, are they?
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think, so, you know, Warner Brothers wants the money. You know, that's the kind of studio they are. All studios really are the same, let's face it. But I think what Disney has learned with Marvel is, actually, if we just leave these guys alone and keep Kevin in charge, it's a gold mine. So off you pop. No point in us interfering with this freight train. Whereas Warner Brothers is trying to shape it still. Who do we get in? And it was Geoff Johns, and now, you know, is it J.J. Abrams? And
maybe.
It's a maybe. And actually, if here's the thing with J.J. Abrams. I fucking do not like J.J. Abrams. There's very little that guy has ever done that I have liked, but I think he'd possibly be a better producer than he would be a director. So I'd be more interested in him taking on a figgy kind of producer type role, but him directing.
I think he's a really good director. I think he just needs to have a writer who keeps him in check.
Yes, actually, that's true. I agree with you. I think he should not be in charge of story. I think somebody needs to say to him, JJ, that is not actually your forte. You should be able to, you know, change it.
I have to agree on some level, because the thing is, he does have his strengths. And we mentioned this before. His strengths are starting things, right? He does have his strength. He has a very, very good instinct for what is going to intrigue.
You can't have him start things with somebody else having an idea at the end.
Yes. But I mean, like, I think he should have a say. Like, he should be able to consult that writer and say, hey, there's this idea, there's this idea. Well, he should have a say.
No director should ever really know of a say.
He has really good storytelling instincts that I think a lot of people say, like, oh, that's shit. I'm like, no, it's not. There's a reason why his movies make so much money, is because he's able to get mass appeal and really make premises that are really intriguing.
Well, I would say because he copies stuff that's happened previously, jazzes it up for the modern day and the new generation of people who don't watch old movies see this and think it's fantastic, whereas our generation look at it and goes, he's copied that, he's copied this, he's copied that. That's what I see with J.J. Abrams.
Everyone copies. Like, especially
I think there's degrees, though. I mean, I'm trying to think of the Russo movies at the moment. I'm not thinking of anything they copied off the top of my head. If it's there, it's subtle enough that I can't think of it. Whereas, you know, with the J.J. Abrams movies, I just think I can see it. You know, almost when he advertises a movie, I think this is going to be like this old movie, and it almost always is. And I think the zenith of that was Star Wars, because I think his two Star Wars movies just almost feel like A New Hope, but let's change enough stuff so that nobody can say I've just made the same thing. And his Skywalker feels enough like Return of the Jedi in the same way, how it all ends. It's almost like he's took, when I was a kid, I wished Return of the Jedi had ended this way, and that's what he's done for the end of Skywalker. There was a lot of bad decisions made in that film alone, you know, and ultimately he was in charge of that, all right. Chris Terrio helps him write it, but there's no doubt who the power is in that relationship. You know, it's J.J. Abrams that's making the decisions. Disney gave him a lot of power, a lot of input into what happened with those Star Wars movies. And to me, the sequel trilogy as a whole is just a mess. So who else should have put the blame on? I think the most apt person is, you know, you could say Kathleen Kennedy for choosing him in the first place, but I think when J.J. Abrams comes in and he says, right, I'm throwing out Lucas's ideas, which, you know, we've heard one tiny thing about and everybody, you know, reads the worst into it. But, you know, I'd like to actually see that and see what his plans actually were. And then he takes that and he rushes out what to me was just like a new hope again. But I was willing to forgive him at that point because I thought maybe that's where it needed to bring Star Wars fans back again. They needed to go familiar. And in which case, J.J. Abrams is actually a good choice for that because he is a director that could say, I can remake this and make it look different. You know, he's the kind of guy you would want for that. But then to bring him back to do what he traditionally cannot do, which is end the story. And we all thought, is this the point when J.J. Abrams turns the corner and proves he can end something?
Nope.
Boy, did he drop the ball on that for me.
I guess what it comes down to is he's a good marketer. He knows what beats are going to excite people and get them, a lot of them, into seats, no matter what. Like
ultimately, he doesn't make movies that get into my gut and make me feel emotions. I can enjoy them for 2.5 hours, but then I go away feeling empty from all J.J. Abrams movies. They don't have any lasting appeal to me.
I think that's fine. I think it's okay to have movies like that. I guess unlike most people, I think it's okay to have movies that are just
fun. It's okay to have movies like that, but they're not going to be remembered in 30 years as classics. And I think J.J. Abrams, the fame, the money he gets is like he's pumping out these classics. And I look at his...
It's because he's making money.
Career and he consistently makes money. I get that, but there's nothing memorable in his filmography that jumps out at me at all and says, "Yeah, I'll remember that. That was great. I'll watch that again in years to come."
I love Star Trek. I love that first Star Trek reboot.
I think it was the least annoying, but you know, he ruined it. I actually enjoyed it. But I felt he was trying to make a Star Wars movie more. I don't think it was Trek. And I think he was on the tightrope a little bit with Star Trek, so it worked. And then in the next one, he just pushed it too far for me and remade Wrath of Khan. He literally just remade Wrath of Khan. And that to me is everything. I mean, that whole emotion at the end with Kirk and Spock, to just turn that around so it's the other way and then fix it by quotation marks, magic blood, fuck off. You know, that's taking what was important about Wrath of Khan, the quality, why it's the best Star Trek movie ever made, and just breaking it down to basic, people like this, people like that, I will put this on screen for them. No, I don't think Abrams is getting any more skill than that. So as somebody that might be able to say, I think this will work, I think that will work, I'd be willing to see it. But if he's going to map it out or plan how this is going to work with his supreme writing skills, sorry, I am pressing F to doubt.
What about this? What if he has basic ideas that are executed by Christina Hodson, who has proven herself a pretty talented writer based on her work.
What else has she done other than Bird of Prey?
I think she did Bumblebee. Let me double check that. Bumblebee.
I actually haven't seen that film either because I don't like Transformers movies.
Yeah, Christina Hodson, she did that one as well.
It's hard for me to say because I've never seen either of those two films, so I can't say how good she is.
She did a couple movies that weren't amazing before that. She did Shut In and Unforgettable. I haven't seen either of those, but I don't think
I haven't seen either of them either.
She also is doing rewrites on the Flashpoint movie from Andy Muschietti, so it makes sense that she would be.
Well, we'll judge that when it comes out.
Because
that would make sense because that would be the lead into it. It's the lead in, yeah. It has to be. Yeah. It's the way to introduce the audience to this concept on screen. Enough people go and see Flash to make that worth it.
To sort of execute those bullet points. And I think what J.J. Abrams would be good for is doing sort of the beginning and transitional chapters and then pass it on to someone else and don't come the fuck back. That's what I think he should. Because the thing about Star Wars, I think Star Wars could have gone in a great direction if he didn't come the fuck back.
It depends who they picked. So have you read Trevorrow's script?
You know what? I read part of it. I got kind of bored. I don't like reading scripts that much, to be perfectly honest.
I think it's a better script than Skywalker, but I really don't think that would be hard. However, it's still not fantastic. It still doesn't feel like the end to the Star Wars franchise. And I think that's a Disney mistake more than an Abrams mistake. But
they should have just made it. And here's what I wanted it to be from the beginning. And I actually, you and I had this disagreement that I had different expectations going into the Star Wars sequel trilogy. I expected the sequel trilogy to, yes, have the characters from the previous one, but I didn't expect it to try to loop in the prequels and original trilogy and sort of conclude the entire thing. I thought it was just going to be its own separate thing. And
how do you,
on its own
the idea that the Star Wars saga is supposed to be episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? And those six work like one book almost, or like two books, like the prequel book and then that you don't like so much, and then the original trilogy book that you really love, and it's almost like three acts within that. You can't have like a 7, 8, and 9 that's just completely separate and doesn't, you know, because no one would read that. Yeah, that's like,
There's this manga series, and actually, I feel stupid saying this because I haven't read it all. I believe it's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and I believe you follow, and people who read it are going to hate me for this, but the idea behind it is that you follow generations of characters, right? Generations of a family, or of like a person. And I'm probably so wrong on this, but just because it is a chronological thing of an entire family doesn't necessarily mean everything has to tie in. Like if we're following three generations, like I don't necessarily think like I have to have my climax tie in with something my great, great grandfather did, you know, many years ago. Like it can continue to be the Skywalker saga without having to revert to episode 1. It could just refer to episode 7 and move on from there, which is why I thought they were going to do that. I thought we were going to get Skywalker movies in perpetuity that would just continue things on and continue forward without having to tie things back together. That was my expectation. And that was what
Even if they'd have said it was going to be 12 and said this was going to be the first three and give them more time to develop a new story that would then climax the end. It felt like two stories shoved together again. I think I would have accepted that more. But you can't take... Star Wars is one complete story from you might not like 1, 2, and 3, but they fit as one complete story through to the end of 6. And it's the story of Darth Vader. And it's the first act is the tragedy, his fall, and the second act is about his redemption. That's, you can argue whatever way you want, but that's a fact. That's like, to me, let's say you were reading the new books from Brandon Sanderson. That's right. And you know, you're waiting for the next, is it Kingkiller Chronicles book to come out? Stormlight. So you're waiting for, you know, I like my fantasy, but I'm neck deep in the Wheel of Time at the moment, so that's a 14 book series. I'll get to all these things later on, but I just don't have enough time. But if you were reading that in the next book in the series didn't follow on from what happened previously, would you be happy with that as a reader? Because the fan base, let's say George Martin produces The Winds of Winter and it's set 50 years later and doesn't have anything to do with Jon Snow, you don't find out if Jon Snow survived, there would be a fucking uproar. Why do it? Why pigeonhole yourself like that? Disney didn't have to do that. All they had to do was say Star Wars, I can think of a better name than this, but just to give you an example, Star Wars The Next Generation, episode 1. Episode 2, go for as long as you want. Don't even do it like episodic, just, you know, take the Marvel approach and just start a new story. They could have done so many different things, but they chose to cash in on that this was the end to the saga, and then they failed to deliver on it. And by failing to deliver on it, they then demean how good people feel about the movies that come before it.
I mean, and, I think they just should have. Honestly, I totally still good with the idea of a prequel trilogy that only just utilizes, you know, the legacy characters and continues the story and doesn't feel the need to call back to episodes 1 through 6. Other than the involvement of like Luke, Leia, and Han, and all that.
It's like, fine. You're wrong. You know,
I'm just saying that. I think it's perfectly fine. But
I don't think there's going to be a lot of Star Wars fans that are like me.
The point is, look, it's clear you don't like this idea about J.J. Abrams potentially taking a crack at the DCEU. You don't think it's the way to go.
I don't like the idea of J.J. Abrams taking a crack at anything at the moment. If he proves me wrong at some point, I'll hold my hands up and say, prove me wrong, he made a good movie that I love, that I can really get on board. So far, that hasn't happened. It's just simply, you know, it's like if you go to McDonald's every day, but you really don't like it and you prefer Burger King, you're not going to be that excited when your local McDonald's shuts down. When your local Burger King shuts down and all you're left with is McDonald's because you don't like them. You know, why? That's just you as a consumer. What do you like? And so far, I don't like J.J. Abrams.
That's fair. That is fair. Well, as far as I go, it's interesting. I like the idea of them expanding outward and just trying different things because it's clear that not being beholden to one timeline and sort of allowing filmmakers to kind of run free is great. And if they have like J.J. Abrams' verse, have it be its own thing and then have the other ones be their own thing, their own director-focused visions, I'm okay with just having the best of all worlds. Like, as long as they're good movies or as long as they're interesting in their own unique ways, maybe I'll love them. Maybe I won't. Maybe they'll suck. Maybe they'll be great. But I'm intrigued. I guess, and I've said this before, I'm very much the type of person who is just like, if I have this thought where I'm thinking, okay, I don't want this movie to be that. And then it turns out, surprise, that movie is exactly that. Where I'm like, all right, well, that movie's that now. I have to accept it. Now, what can I want from that? Like, I'm not going to complain about that movie being what I don't want it to be. I'm going to complain whether or not it does what it sets out to do. So right now I'm just like, all right, if this is the direction they do, hopefully they do it well. We'll see if they manage to land it. It'll be interesting.
You know, plenty of movies don't turn out the way you want them to be, but you judge them by how they are, you know. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. Did you enjoy the film? Did you like the way the writers went? Did you like the way the director put it all together? Did you like the performances? You know, and that's all we'll ever do. You know, we don't get any say in who runs the DCEU or who comes next or who's going to direct it. All I'm saying is that if I was in charge of Warner Brothers and the amount of money, truckloads of money they just shoved into J.J. Abrams' pocket, I'd have kept them and hired someone else.
Yeah.
It was me, because I don't think it's not my cup of tea. And if I lived and died by that sword and J.J. Abrams went on to make mega money for someone else, so be it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the choice you make.
Well, we shall see what happens, and we shall see if this rumor is even true. And even if it is true, it may not come of anything.
Well,
because
either way, I think it looks like J.J. Abrams is going to get involved. He's signed with Warner Brothers. It's a big deal. You know, he's expressed interest in some of the DC properties. You kind of feel at some point he's coming aboard something anyway, even if this rumor
doesn't
pan out.
Is there any character you'd want to give him?
No, I've heard the one he's most interested in is Superman. But I fear what J.J. Abrams would do with Superman. I really do. No, there isn't. You know,
I can't think of anything that
he has to prove himself to me. If he has to prove himself to me that I can be a fan of his movies, because so far he hasn't done that. So
yeah, that's fair.
You know, it's up to him to win me over as a viewer ultimately. And if he doesn't care about that, too bad. I'll go on not liking his movies.
Ironically, I feel like the movie that he would have been best suited for would have been Shazam. I think that probably would have been the best one for him that I could think of at the top of my head. Obviously,
it's too small scale for Abrams. It's too small scale. Abrams, I don't think, you know, that is quite a... It doesn't feel like a big budget movie, Shazam, and it doesn't feel like it should be either because of the context of it. I don't think he would have been the right person for that at all, actually.
Sure. All right.
And then I'm going to say that about everything over there. So,
yike! Not one thing that you can give him a pass on.
No.
All right.
I quite liked the first season of Alias, and then he resets everything every season. And I thought, no, I've had enough of that.
I can never get into Lost. I've never been a huge fan of a lot of his TV shows, to be honest. But I know a lot of.
I loved Lost back in the day, but I don't. I mean, he was only involved in like the first season, maybe the second season a little bit. You know, really, it was Lindelof that carried that. So.
Was the scapegoat, clearly.
He was writing it by the end. What did they go for? Six, seven seasons? And by the end, J.J. was involved at all.
Yeah.
So again, he started the premise, but he didn't know how to end it. It was up to Lindelof to end it. Whereas you look at Watchmen, and that's something that Lindelof got to take from start to finish, and it's one of the best sort of contained seasons, isn't it? You know, I mean, I haven't heard anybody that didn't love the first season of Watchmen, if there is even another season, because he said he's not coming back. And I think Regina King said she'd only come back if Lindelof comes back. So I just get the feeling it's not going to happen, but who cares, because that one season that's a classic. You know, and I'll live on forever.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming on today's episode and for this discussion. That it went. I love the fact that we talked about DC and inevitably went back to Star Wars. We had like a 5 to 10 minute Star Wars pocket discussion.
Because he's not done anything for DC so far. So all we can do is to look at how he would take DC. You have to look back at his body of work. You know.
Yeah.
Which most recently has been Star Wars.
Where can people find you, Cam?
They can find me on Twitter at LRM_Cam. Write stories for the website LRMonline.com as well. So check it out. Jump into the comments, etc.
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all my stuff at LRMonline.com. And remember, this isn't the only show on the LRM Online Podcast Network. We also have Geek Scholars Movie News. We have Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. We have random interviews that pop up now and then that... I think we're probably going to see more of in the months to come. So keep an eye out for those, like lots of great little interviews that we'll have. Apologies if you can hear a lawnmower over here. It's some guy right outside my window mowing a lawn. So there's nothing I can do about that. But yeah, so check that out all on this podcast feed. So we will be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. And we will see if we'll have an episode Friday. We may or may not, depending on how things go. But yeah, sounds good. Thanks so much for coming on, Cam, and we'll talk to you all
later. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.